This is episode 37 of the Home and Family Culture Podcast. I'm Jody Chafee. In this episode, I'm doing a solo episode about homeschool and why I chose to homeschool my children and a little bit about homeschool philosophies. Welcome to the Home and Family Culture Podcast, where I discuss how families can discover and design their collective vision, values, beliefs, and traditions that influence their family culture. In this podcast, I interview experts who offer tips and tools to inspire families in this process of developing their family culture, and also successful individuals whose success was influenced by their family culture growing up. Be sure to check out the show notes for this and every episode at homeandfamilyculture.com, where you can subscribe for my weekly newsletter filled with updates on the podcast and blog, as well as other tidbits of information I like to add. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or YouTube. Please subscribe to your favorite medium. You can also find me on social media at Family Culture Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest, and at _Family Culture on Twitter. Be sure to comment, follow, like, rate, and share. But enough about all of that. Let's get to the episode. Thank you for listening. Okay, so homeschooling. There's a lot that goes into homeschooling our children, obviously. We have four kids. They are 3, 4, 7, and almost 9. And so I have always wanted to homeschool our kids. I have always dreamed about it. I don't really know why. Mostly, I grew up in a small town, and so there wasn't a lot of resources available in my little town. I'm very grateful for my parents for raising us in a small town. After living in a city for 8 years, I really appreciate what it took to live in a small town and the safety that it afforded our family and what a luxury it was that we never had to even lock our front door or our cars or anything. And we could ride our bikes around the neighborhood. I mean, yeah, this was the 80s, but even still, I mean, we had so much freedom because we lived in a small town. But the school system, we didn't have a lot of sports. We didn't have a lot of luxury as far as academics goes. And by high school, I mean, I was doing really well in elementary and middle school. And I would have done well in high school if I hadn't been distracted by friends and social environment. But that's okay. So I just want my... One of the things is academics, the reasons why I homeschool. Not that schools aren't good, which I will get to that, but I want to allow my children to explore more than just academics. So another thing that inspired me to do homeschool is my sister homeschooled her children, and she's a little bit older than me, and so she started having kids before I did. And she was homeschooling them during 9/11 in 2001. And when I talked to her about her experience, and she was homeschooling them in Detroit, around Detroit, and the kids in the public school after the attack on 9/11, the schools around Detroit had shut down, and kids were in lockdown. And they weren't allowed to leave the school. Their parents couldn't come pick them up. They were hiding under their desks in fear of what was going to happen, maybe, and they didn't even know it was going to happen. Meanwhile, my sister had her kids at home, and she was looking at a world map and explaining to them what was going on, what was happening. And I just thought, this is only going to get worse. There's no way that this situation is going to get better. And so I wanted to be able to have that privilege of being able to have my kids at home, explain to them what's happening in the world, prepare them for what's happening in the world today, and make that a part of our home and our family culture as, you know, something that we believe, that I believe, and my faith is that it is only going to get worse before it gets better. And so I want to prepare my kids for what's going to happen, what's coming, and prepare them for that and help them to be instruments and use their capacity and their strength to do their best and to be able to contribute to society. I believe that homeschooling as a parent is a calling. I am not saying, and I'm not trying to tell anybody, that everybody should homeschool. I don't think that at all. I think that everybody is completely entitled to what they believe about their home, their education, and what education their children need. And so I think that there's room and space for all of that. That's one of the things about family culture, is that just like how every family has a family culture, and if you choose your family culture, then it's intentional. And if your choice is it's public school, or if it's homeschool, and or if it's private school, if it's intentional, that's all that matters. That's your, then you are honoring your vision, you are honoring your values, and you know what's best for your family. And so I'm not going to put that out there that I'm going to criticize anybody for how they're homeschooling or parenting or educating their kids, as long as it's intentional and mindful and caring. And that's all that matters. And so for me and for our family, and my belief is that homeschooling is what's best for us. So, of course, the first question is socialization and whether our kids get enough friends. And it's so funny that's the first question, because the first question is never, are they getting an education? Because it's almost well understood that homeschool kids are doing better academically in general. And so so it's not like people ask that question, are they getting an academics? Are they getting educated? Because one of the first things people know and recognize is that kids need freedom. They need to be able to play. They need to be able to explore. And that's one of the first things that we do as our homeschool, especially because my kids are so little, they're allowed to play. And so, but socialization, and I will get a little bit on my soapbox here about this, because the only thing that children need to be socialized, in a sense of actually being socialized, is their parents, loving parents, and other loving adults. Our culture at large believes that our children need peers to be socialized, and that's just not true. In fact, kids who are peer-oriented are lost. I mean, I'm not going to go into it anymore. I'm just going to tell you to read the book Hold On to Your Kids by Gordon Neufeld, and it will explain everything that I believe about socialization and about why peers are not the best way to socialize our kids. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I think that what kids really need, and I will link a few things, articles and things, that parents need to be the ones to socialize their kids. We need to be the ones modeling appropriate behaviors, modeling how to problem solve, modeling how to treat other people and have empathy and kindness and intelligence and all of those things. That's our job. And when we can't be the ones there to help them with that, we can help to transition them into orienting with other responsible adults, if they have their teachers or aunts and uncles, grandparents, you know, all of those people who are looking out for their best interest are the ones to help socialize our kids, because they will be their mentors and their guidance. And that's what we're here for, to help our children learn appropriate behaviors. So when people and strangers will be like, oh, make sure that they are enrolled in certain things so that they can have their friends. Well, guess what? Up to a certain age, that's just really not even important. And they are going to get as much socialization as they need from me and my husband that they need. And people make comments all the time about how mature our kids behave and how active they are and how friendly they are and how confident they are. And I'm not saying that all homeschool kids are going to act that way, but that's the comments that we've received about our kids. And, you know, then there's people who go, oh, you have those weird homeschool kids. And it's like, hey, guess what? There's a lot of weird public school kids, too. So that's just the way that people are. It's just character. It's just personality. Or it's just the family dynamics. And one of the things that I love about family dynamics is that kids and parents are created for one another. For some reason, however our kids are, you as parents were placed with them. They were placed with you because God knew that you were capable of taking care of this particular personality, this particular spirit. And so it doesn't reflect anything about your parenting or anything. It's that if your kid's kind of weird, then Heavenly Father knew that you were capable of handling that weird kid and loving them anyways, and or whatever. And so that's, I just think it's such a silly judgment to say that homeschool kids are weird, that they're unsocialized, because honestly, in our culture and in our society, I'd be okay with that. I'd be more okay with my kid being a weird, unsocialized outcast who is specializing in living their life with happiness and joy and empathy and kindness than people who conform to the crazy culture that's going on right now. So that's not, if anybody were to ask me, what about that? That's my response, that I'm okay with that. If my kid wants to be weird and quiet and occasionally sits down and talks to me and is reading good books and enjoying and appreciating nature and culture, I'm okay with that. So that's my thought about that. There's a lot of different philosophies that I subscribe to as far as homeschooling goes. And so some of the things that I've been researching, and I still am learning all the time. I don't know everything there is to know about homeschooling. Like I said, my kids are 8 and under. And so what I believe is that kids who are between birth and around 8 or 9, that they're actually very moldable, very sweet and loving, and they just want and need to play. Marlene Peterson, who is one of the people that I've interviewed, and she has founded the Well-Educated Heart, she has said, and maybe she's even quoting it from someone else, that the work of children is play. And so that is what we do. We do play school, and we read a lot of books, and we do housework together. And that right now is basically my homeschool. I do have some academics. I like my older kids to sit down, and we use the Good and the Beautiful handwriting curriculum. And we do have their language arts curriculum, and I do that with them sometimes. And I also read picture books that are based on math principles occasionally. And we will do a lot of board games and card games that introduce math concepts and things like that. So basically, that's our homeschool. Another reason why I homeschool my kids is because, I'm a little bit lazy. That's really what it kind of comes down to. I really hate the idea of forcing myself and our kids to get up and get ready every morning to rush them off to school where I won't see them all day long. And I just hate that idea of not seeing my kids all day long, passing off this opportunity to raise and influence my kids to someone else doesn't appeal to me. And so I like that we're home, that we get to interact together a lot. My kids are like best friends. They're so cool together. I mean, yeah, they fight occasionally. And some of them, they're kind of a little bit possessive of their things. And so we have to work on, you know, asking for permission or sharing if they're not playing with something. And so that's part of just being at home and problem solving and learning to be resilient and kind and learning these soft skills that are important that I feel like we need to learn. And so Basically, an ideal day for me would go that we get up and we exercise and we eat breakfast and we do our morning jobs, which is basically emptying the dishwasher and switching the laundry and putting away a load of laundry and then tidying up something. Then we roll into kids' school, which is basically some people call it morning basket, some people call it kids' school or devotional or, you know, things like that. So we just sing some songs. We're working on memorizing some scriptures, and I try to read a chapter out of chapter book from them. And it's been a process. It hasn't been something, and we still struggle with it. Like most days, my little ones are like, I don't want to read that book. And so I'm like, okay, well then you guys pick the book and we'll read the book. And so it's kind of random sometimes the books that we read. But to me, as long as we've read something, that's what's important. And then ideally we roll into some kind of math game or regular like board game or card game. And then I try to establish a quiet time so that at least my oldest can sit down and work on her academics and work on that language arts and handwriting. And she's working up towards having a keyboarding book, the curriculum from The Good and the Beautiful. Because I told her she's got to get her handwriting done before she can do keyboarding. but we also have a book that I picked up about coding for kids. And so my daughter especially, my oldest, she likes to sit down and work on that. And my second, he loves Legos. And so he will play with Legos all day long if he were allowed to. And that's his life. And then my two little ones, they just run amok and go crazy all the time. 2 days a week, when I have my scheduled interviews and recording for the podcast, they are allowed to watch TV shows that are based on math, science, or reading. And honestly, that's probably where they get the most of their academic learning. Because that's where they just learn that stuff. And so they love Timu Mizumi and Super Y and Odd Squad and Magic School Bus and The Wild Kratts and those kinds of shows that they just love those things. And they like other TV shows too, but because those aren't focused on math, science, or reading, those are relegated to Saturdays. And so that's the only time that they do that. We don't play a lot of games on electronic devices, mostly because it is a source of contention in our home that whenever they are allowed to play on our phones or the computer, it's very hard to get them to stop. And when I say, you know, it's time to stop, it's like total meltdown city. And so I'm just like, okay, you guys are too little to be having these anyways. And they just don't have the self-discipline, and I don't have the heart to like fight with them all the time. So we just don't really do them a lot. It's a treat. It's a rare treat that they play with the games that are on our phones. And so that's our day. And after lunch, basically they're allowed to do whatever they want. They can play and run around. And that's kind of like my free time a little bit. And so that's one of the things I think people struggle with, is this idea of being at home with your kids all day long. But actually, we are able to have a lot of personal time just because they can go off and play, and I will watch them while they're playing outside, while I'm working on my own things, studying and reading and things like that. And so I get quite a bit of quiet time for myself. I mean, yeah, they're around and they are here, but I love it. I really enjoy being close to them, and I love that we get to spend time a lot. Occasionally, we have signed them up for classes outside of the home if it's something that we can't offer here, like gymnastics or sports. They've done karate and gymnastics. Oh, I can't remember it right now, but they've done some. And as they get older, we'll probably work on some music and sports and things like that. But if it's something that they can learn from YouTube, we do it. We start them out on YouTube just because I want to see some effort and instigation on their part before they sign up for a class outside. The other social interaction that they get, for those of you who are worried, they interact a lot with friends at church. My oldest does have a weekly or bi-monthly activity that she goes to. And when my son turns 8, he'll have a weekly activity. And they have play dates with other kids. I eventually want to get more involved with the other homeschool people in my community. But I am a little bit of an introvert. And so getting out there and meeting other homeschool moms is really outside of my comfort zone. And so I haven't really done a lot of that yet, but there are some families that go to our church that homeschool, and there's just cool people in general that are in our church. And so we get some interaction with them often enough. And so there you go. And they do have their regular doctor's checkups, so don't you worry about that. If you were. Okay. So some of the other homeschool philosophies that I like, because like this relates back to home culture, family culture a lot, because if you think about whether or not you want to homeschool or however you want to educate your kids, you have to reflect on what your vision or your mission statement is for your family. You know, what do you envision for your family and how do you envision the outcome of their education? You know, think about this, though, that more and more college and a college education is less necessary. I'm not saying it's unnecessary. It's not unnecessary. It's absolutely still necessary. But what I encourage is that college isn't a means. How do I say this? College is not the end. That's what it is. College is not the end. If your kids don't know what they're doing and they go off to college to try and figure out what they're doing, that's not the right time to go to college. I mean, it's expensive. And so it's not a time to be going into debt to figure out what you want to do with your life. And I am a huge advocate of avoiding debt of all kind because I have bad experience with that. And so college is something that there's a lot to do to prepare for college. There's a lot of education you can get leading up to college to be prepared so that college is just a means to an end and a connection from A to B and just a way to enhance the ambition and goals and education that's already in place that your kids already have. And so figure out what the vision is, what your mission is for your child's education, what are your values and standards that you intend and hope for your kids to develop, and is homeschool or public school or private school going to serve those standards and intentions that you have, and what is important to you, and what do you want to be known for as a family, and does their education serve that purpose? You know, and then the values that you have as a family is reflected in the educational choices that you make. And so that's what our education system, you know, what we choose as a family is all about. And the wonderful thing about our society today is that you have a choice. And is it easy? No, it's not always easy. And some people struggle with the different, you know, there are a lot of obstacles to homeschooling, especially if both parents work in the home or work outside of the home. But I have read and heard of ways that parents have overcome those obstacles if that's a concern or whatever. You know, if it's something that's important to you, then find ways. And I will leave a link in my show notes to a lady who has spoken about the different ways that people homeschool that work around these different schedules and obstacles, whether the mother has an illness or they work, or, you know, you can homeschool on outside of the home. You can partner up with another family. You can do focus on your reading and education in the evening and then allow the playtime and personal study time all day long. And so there are definitely multiple ways to homeschool. But the point that I want to make here is, you know, this whole message that I've had about faith-based versus fear-based motivation. That, you know, when I told the story about my sister homeschooling during 9/11, and that, you know, this opportunity then to teach my children about the world and what to prepare for, I didn't mention that I wanted to protect my kids, because that's not the objective. I'm not trying to run away from something that's going on in the public schools. But what I want to do is work towards a dream or a vision that I have for our family and for my kids. It's not trying to pull them away from society or social interactions. Like, I didn't say that I don't send my kids to school because they'll get bullied or for whatever reason, other things like that. But I want to put them towards a dream and a reality or a hope that they can have empathy and be a force for good in the world. And so that to me is what the choices that we make for our kids' education need to be: faith-based and, you know, intentions of the direction that we're going rather than what we're trying to get away from. You know, I wrote a blog post about this, and I illustrated this idea of, if you're running away from something, you're constantly looking over your shoulder, trying to avoid something, and you're not looking where you're going. But with faith-based intentions, you have goals, you have objectives, you are looking in that direction and visualizing that direction. And so that's what homeschooling is for me and for our family. It's a vision. It's standards, it's guidelines, it's intentions. And so that's the kind of that's the reason why we homeschool. And so people say, have asked me, you know, oh, so what you think you can provide for your children what a public school cannot? And honestly, I do. But it's not because of any academic anything. It's because of the goals and the intentions that I have for my kids. Okay, at least twice a month, we go on a field trip, and every week we go to a park or we go on a nature walk and things like that. You don't get that kind of stuff in schools. Or, you know, if there's a day where we need to just recover and not do anything because of sickness or because of stress or because a family member is in town or whatever, then we can do those things. If we want to leave town and go visit our families, then we can, and we have that freedom. And so it's really about that too, to me, is that it's about freedom. So some of the things that I've been putting together about families, about homeschooling philosophies, and about homeschooling techniques and things, that when we're considering how to educate our kids, we got to think about what our parenting style is. You know, we want to be not authoritarian, right? We want to be authoritative, and we don't want to be submissive. So we want to be right in the middle between having too high standards and not enough standards. We want to set rules, but be able to enforce them without being too strict. And so, does your education style serve your style of parenting? And also consider your teaching style. For me, I am not the type of person that, like, I don't sit down and lecture my children. I really don't like doing that. But there are ways to educate my children that do not require me to sit down and lecture my kids. We can play. We can read books together. And I will go into this a little bit more without going for too long about mentoring and coaching and just directing them in their own studies and in their own play. And so that's something else to consider is teaching styles. Another thing is our mindset. How can we teach our kids about growth mindset? Other things to consider is your kids' personalities and profiling your kids to know what their learning styles are, what their intelligence style is, what their love language is, whether they're right or left brained, what their stage in their development is. All those things matter when you consider how to teach each child as where they are in their development, what their energy type is, their temperament, their attachment to you, and how you can enhance that attachment. So those are different things to consider when you're homeschooling your kids. So a couple of things. We do not follow traditional homeschool or traditional school because, that style, basically it means school at home. And like I've said, I don't sit down and lecture my kids. I don't sit them down and make them work on academic curriculum because at least at this stage of their development, because they're so young and I want them to be able to experience things. I want them to be able to have exposure and an enjoyment of running and playing. And so that's something to consider. Some people really enjoy doing school at home. And at first when I would envision homeschool, that's kind of what I pictured. I pictured, you know, lining up desks and having a chalkboard and talking to my kids. And I have found that with the way that my kids' personalities are, that doesn't work. Even though they kind of when they play school, they like to pretend that there's a teacher and a lecturer and things like that, which is kind of funny. And so eventually, I think as they mature, they will enjoy going to lectures and symposiums and things like that. And that may very well become a part of our education, but it's not the same as school at home. Another thing that I've looked into a little bit is Montessori. And so that's something that I found is really interesting because it's about creating an environment that fosters learning. And so that is something that has influenced our homeschool because I like the idea of allowing my kids to have access to the things that they're interested in, which kind of makes for chaos in as far as clutter and messes and things go. But so we haven't quite grasped all of the philosophies of Montessori because Montessori school, the kids take responsibility and they're really good at cleaning up after themselves. And so part of that is we just don't have that rhythm yet as far as our organization goes. But it's about autonomy and self-government. And so that's something that I really appreciate about Montessori. I have looked into classical style education a little bit. I liked the idea about reading classics, but that's about as far as I got into it. So that's an interesting thing to look into. I have been interested in Charlotte Mason, but that's something that I'm learning more about. What I do like about Charlotte Mason is that it's about habits and that it's about nature and living books and exposure to art and music. And but something that I want to study more is Charlotte Mason because I like that she has a little bit of a formal education without it being too... It takes into account their maturity level, I believe. And so, but I like the living books aspect of Charlotte Mason. What that means is that you learn a concept based on somebody's, like the book is about their experience or a story. It basically means it's not a textbook. And so that's what the living books means. One of the things that has really influenced my educational style is leadership education. And specifically a Thomas Jefferson education. And those pioneers are Oliver and Rachel DeMille. And one of the things that I like about the Thomas Jefferson education is that it's about teaching from the classics. And what a classic is a book that you can come back to repeatedly and learn something from it every time. And so I like that. I like that leadership education is mentor-based. And so you're not student-teacher, but mentor and mentee. And basically what that means is that you are guiding your child. You try to study those things that they're studying perhaps beforehand, and then directing their focus as a guidance and suggestions, and sitting down and having mentor meetings and coaching sessions and councils with them about the direction of their education and their studies. And it's mission focused. So basically that means that your child has a purpose, and that their education is centered around finding that purpose. And so basically it's about studying the classics, it's mentors, it's about inspiring your child. And so you, as a parent, take the time to model for them what you want from them by doing your own studies, by doing your own work, by adopting the behaviors that you want your child to see. It's about simplicity, and it's about taking care of yourself. And it's about the phases of learning. So I mentioned that from 0 to 8 or 9, your kids are in this phase called the core phase. And basically that's when kids learn about morals. They learn the difference between right and wrong. They learn that what their value is. And so there's not a big emphasis in academics, because when you overemphasize academics in this stage, that becomes linked to their worth. And I don't want my child's worth to be linked to academics. I want it to be linked to their creativity or their curiosity or whatever those different things are, or their worth to be linked to the fact that they have inherent worth just because they're a child of God. And so that's what this phase is about, is teaching them their moral judgment and the worth of souls and kindness and all of those things. And then it leads into love of language, love of learning phase, which my daughter has started to get into, and she is really starting to get interested in learning, and she's willing to sit off on her own just to read and to study and explore things all on her own. And so she's kind of lost interest in some of the things that her younger siblings are interested in. And so she has shown this interest in transitioning into that phase. And so that phase is really focusing on the academics, but guided by the mentor, your parents. And I'm still learning about it, but I love this part. And then they move into scholar phase. And scholar phase is more focusing on leading into what their mission is and diving deeper into the classics and studying constantly and writing. And so I will leave links in my show notes to different resources for the leadership education. The Thomas Jefferson education is one, and I did interview Rachel early on in the podcast. And another one is the LemmyMentorTraining.com, which is Kathy Millor is another advocate for leadership education. And another one that I interviewed her as well, and I also interviewed Greg Denning, who advocates for World School Academy, but he's also an advocate of leadership education. So those are all really awesome resources, and they have lots of books available and websites and things. But I just want to read to you the Thomas Jefferson Education Manifesto. It says, "An education to match our mission. A movement is sweeping across the world, not of protesters raging in streets, but of families loving and learning in consecrated homes, of devoted mothers who look into their children's eyes and see future leaders, of valiant fathers who thirst for greatness, of youth who feel a stirring in their souls to renounce conveyor belt mediocrity. They hear the call of mission to seek truth, build strong families and communities, spread freedom and prosperity, create beauty, heal society. Their allegiance is clear. They will not compromise their virtue. They will not rest while they see need. They unplug from TV and tabloids to immerse themselves in the classics and engage with mentors. They learn because they are inspired, not required. Compelled to grapple with life's most important questions, to learn a leadership education, to innovate solutions for humanity, to learn more, become more, so they can serve more. We are this generation of leaders. We will rise up to our potential with an education to match our mission, and we will be the change we wish to see in the world. So one of the things that I've learned from leadership education is that the world kind of has it backwards. They are enforcing academics on little children and then de-emphasizing it on our teenagers and allowing them to be teenagers. But the way that leadership education works is the opposite. Allow kids to be kids, and then as they grow and mature, they become more and more focused on their mission and their purpose in this life. And so that's one of the things I love about the leadership education. And along with leadership education is this concept of heart education. And I mentioned it about Marlene Peterson and her founding of the Well-Educated Heart. And so what she emphasizes is that the heart education, there is about impressions and feelings and images. It's emphasizing the arts, poetry, stories, nature. It's about a desire to learn and to explore. It can be random and spontaneous, but heart education is instilled in our memory for the long term. Whereas mind education is about facts and information. It's a science. It's about rules and memorization. It's systematic and sequential, but it's very short-term memory. While mind education is still important, heart education needs to come first. And so that's what I hope to also instill in my kids, is this idea that heart education will help them to fuel their passion for mind education. It's encouraging children to sense, observe, appreciate, and enjoy the sensation of their hearts. And something that Marlene posted on Facebook recently, because somebody talked about how they felt like the Well-Educated Heart, well, because it's not technically a curriculum or even a method of homeschooling. It's really this concept of again, the environment and allowing your children to be engrossed and encapsulated or surrounded by this environment that encourages their exploration and questions and learning to see and feel what's happening. So somebody had this question because they felt, oh, I need more structure than this. And because it is, it's hard when you think when, you know, one of the things is that it's random and it's spontaneous. Well, because it's kind of child-led. So that's another thing. That's another form of educational method is unschooling. And basically unschooling is, it is child-led. It's led by their interests. And so it can feel a little bit sporadic and spontaneous, but when you see your kids' eyes light up because of something they're excited about and something that they want to learn, that is so priceless, and they are never going to forget that thing that they learn. So Marlene says, if you are incorporating music, singing, story, and poetry into their lives, you are doing Well-Educated Heart. If you are enjoying nature and pictures and drawing, you are doing Well-Educated Heart. If you are building loving and positive relationships within your family, you are doing a Well-Educated Heart. While force negates learning, incorporating rhythm into your day is a good thing. Melody without the beat is chaotic. You must You just have to be sure you don't focus on the beat so much that you lose the melody. You don't want to let learning become so mechanical it shuts down the whole love of learning. If, for your peace of mind, you need to incorporate some basic academics into your little days, then do it. You won't ruin them. Modern research backs up the idea that delaying academics until around the age of 7 or 8 will yield great benefits downstream. Your 8-year-old is probably ready for more structure in academics. Let's see. What does that rhythm look like? It looks different in every home. Do you need them to get dressed and clean their room first thing? Then work with them to establish that habit. Then you could, in your mind, block out the morning hours for free imaginative play, since your children are so young that it doesn't feel like they're doing nothing. At lunchtime, maybe you'll plan a story that you'll read to them while they're eating, or after they're eating. If you want to have a 15-minute reading or writing time, put it into the rhythm. After lunch, planning outdoor play or going on an outing or playing a game still keeps a sense of rhythm to your day. Maybe have a set time in the afternoon for a quiet time. They can do what they want in their rooms, but it needs to be quiet. Before dinner, put on some music and let them build something or draw or whatever. You may not be able to set a rhythm that is the same every day. The night before, have a general idea of how you hope the day will go and walk your kids through it at breakfast in the morning. Let's see. So I just loved that whole idea. And she goes on to say, the philosophy of well-educated heart is really simple. Help a child to love and desire that which is good and beautiful and true through the use of music, art, poetry, and story, which reach into the heart, even if you only share one story a day. Teach your child then to learn correct principles and rules. That's the mind part. And obey them. And good things will happen. Try not to teach the mind until you've warmed up a desire in their hearts. So those are some of the things that I'm trying to do with my homeschool, with our family, is that I want them to be able to recognize truth and goodness and beauty. I want them to be leaders. And I want them to know who they are and their identity and their worth. And so those are some of the things that I'm trying to accomplish with my homeschool and some of the reasons why I homeschool. And so take it or leave it, whatever you get out of this, I don't really know. I just felt like I wanted to share with you all the reasons why I homeschool, what I do, how I do it. You know, I just love that our family can be together and that we are learning together and growing together, and that our family culture is centered around the intention that we have and the direction that we're going in and the vision that we have for our kids and our family. And so that's what I hope to convey, and that's the reason why I homeschool, is that it allows me to be more intentional with our family. And it's a process of trial and error. Thanks for listening and hearing me out. I just wanted to whatever you want to get out of this. I just wanted to tell you a little bit more about our family and what we do and the ways that our family functions, and just a little bit more about me. And I hope that there was something in here that you thought was interesting or helpful or hopeful. If you are starting out as a homeschooler, or you're considering homeschooling, then I hope that this has kind of given you a little bit of an insight. I will give you a list. In fact, there's already a list of really great books that I have compiled about homeschool on my Amazon page, and you can find it at homeandfamilyculture.com/books. Some of the books that I have found to be most helpful about family have actually been like business books. And like right now I'm listening to a book called E-Myth, and it's not even about family at all, but it is about finding your purpose and establishing your intention for your life And at least there's been a chapter in there that's been really focused on that. And that is where I learned something about family and about homeschooling. And I also got a lot of motivation from the book, The Millionaire Fast Lane, because, you know, our society and our culture are telling us that our kids need to go to school, that they need to get good grades, that they need to prepare and go to college and get a good job and blah, blah, blah. Guess what? That's not the script anymore. In fact, that script isn't even that reliable anymore. And so that's something that has influenced me a lot with my homeschool. I really believe that if my kids learn how to create a career for themselves as a youth, then I'm totally behind them on that. And especially, like I mentioned, with the college education, if they already have a career established, then a further education is just to further that opportunity. Or it could be something that's just a phase and their education is to help them to take their life into a different direction with that foundation of being entrepreneurial or self-starter or whatever it is. And so that's one book that has really inspired me, along with the second book, Unscripted. And I interviewed that author, MJ DeMarco, and so you can find that episode on my show notes. And there's also been really great books. Dorothy Moore has written a lot of good books about homeschool. Again, Oliver DeMille and Charlotte Mason and John Holt has written books about unschooling. I haven't gotten to read those yet, but they are on my list. But those are all really great resources, and there are a ton of blogs and Facebook groups and conferences. I'm participating in a conference next month called the Latter-day Saint Home Educators, LDSHE, and I will be giving a class about homeschool philosophies and relating it back to our family culture and why you should be intentional about the philosophy that you can get behind. And so, I mean, I'm obviously more of a little bit of an eclectic type of background, but that evolves. I think that that's one of the wonderful things and one of the wonderful reasons why I homeschool is that our families evolve and we are able to evolve and grow as our kids grow. And this is just a part of who we are. So thank you again for listening to this episode. I have never talked this long to anybody in my life. No, that's not true. But thank you again. If you stuck through to this length of the episode, I really appreciate you listening. And thank you for your support. And please like and share and rate and comment and go to my Facebook page and tell me about your hopes or desires for homeschooling or your questions or anything like that that you may have. And if any of these episodes have struck a chord with you, I hope that you'll share those episodes, especially into social media, so that your friends and family can learn from these things too, if they want. I really appreciate this opportunity. And thank you again for listening. And I hope to share with you in the future some of the developments that I'm trying to work on, especially with regard to leaving a legacy for my kids and telling my story. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a great day.